Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalms 100. Psalms 100. Psalms 100, I want to talk about Thanksgiving. Won't get through the whole psalm, but that's okay. Too much to talk about. Psalms 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word, and we ask you to encourage us this time. And Lord, we ask you to help us to be thankful for what we do have and not be too concerned about what we don't have. There will always be things in life we do not have. There will always be things in life that are difficult. That is the life that we live in. So Lord, help us. As your word says, if there are things that we worry about, then we need to take that request to you, but make sure we also do it with thanksgiving. Because, Lord, you do more good things than things we face. So help us, Lord, to be thankful in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start with verse 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I don't want to think of the style of worship. Some would say that. But I think there's more of the attitude in worship. A joyful noise in Hebrew means a shout of victory. In the Old Testament, if they were to get ready to go into battle, there would be the shout. And the idea is not so much the noise as the victory that we're talking about. Lands refers to people of all places. Then he says, serve the Lord with gladness. The word serve means to work, to labor to the point of exhaustion. It doesn't mean, oh, okay, let me do a little something here. It means to serve with exhaustion, with tremendous work, but to do it with gladness. Where gladness means joy and happiness. Singing is a word which means joyful and triumphant. The attitude, really, in whatever style of worship that a church does, the attitude is one of victory, one of joyfulness, one of gladness. We come to celebrate how good God is and how great salvation is. Now, before you jump on the style, let me just simply say this, and I'm going to give you a secret. As a pastor, I haven't always thought this way, but I think this way. So I just want to let you know a little secret. One of my things I do as pastor is I adjust myself to the congregation that I'm in. I see a lot of pastors. I hear a lot of things. I know a lot of things. I adjust to you. Now, that doesn't mean we do everything and whatever, and that doesn't mean we won't try to improve and we do biblical things, but I adjust to the congregation I'm in. If I don't like and I can't live with some things in the congregation, in my view, this is just me now, then I need to go find another church I can live with, not try to browbeat that church into changing. Because I tell you why, someone said something to me when I first came here. Said, preacher, preachers come and go, but we have to stay here, and we have to live with one another. So my goal is to simply adjust to you. Some would say, oh, your style of worship is boring. You just sing hymns, and oh, that's just outdated. That's old-timey. That's fine. That's fine. Don't criticize us, and I'm not going to criticize you. If I go to a church, they jump up and shout, I might decide to jump up and shout too, but you don't do that here, so I adjust to you. I think it's appropriate. I think it's okay. I think humility means that you respect the church you're in. But I will encourage you this. When you sing the hymns, pay attention to the words. You know those three hymns we just sang? There's some good words in there. The Bible says in Ephesians to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I run into so many people today, and believe me, I do, who are up here looking down at other Christians because they don't do it, we don't do it the way they do, or we don't do it the way they do, whatever. And you know what I've come to find out? I'm a pastor of this church. I'll roll along with you on things. Now, if it's unscriptural, I won't. But we'll go along and get along and do it the best we can. You get tired of it, go somewhere else. I get tired of it, I'll go somewhere else. That's just the way it should be. You love the church you're in. I love this church, and I know all of you. I know the good and bad and the ugly and everything else. And I love all of you for just who you are. And so I believe very strongly, not so much in the style as so much as enjoying the church you're in. Now, don't tell anybody. That's my philosophy. But that is my philosophy. But that's not my point in my sermon. Go to verse 3. Thanksgiving is for who God is and what he does. Notice he says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. The first thing of worship and thanksgiving is to acknowledge that he is God. I'm not God. You're not God. Nobody else is God. He is God. I preached a sermon that he's God and God alone. There is no other God. He's the only one. He said in the Old Testament not to have idols. He said not to take the name of the Lord in vain and not make graven images. Don't diminish who God is. God is who he is. And the first thing you do when you thank him is you thank him for being God. He's always been. He will always be. He isn't one bit troubled by anything that goes on in the world because he's God. He's high and lifted above it. So the first thing you do is you know ye that the Lord, he is God. You're not praying to a theology. You're not praying to a denomination. You're not praying to your idea of God. You're praying to the God who is God. That's why it's important to read the Bible and learn about who he is. Later on he will say, don't you know the Lord is so good? He's so gracious. He's so kind. If you spent more time looking up to him and being thankful, and less time looking around you, your heart might be different. You need to spend time looking up at him because he is God. Then the second thing is, we not only thank God, you'll see this through this, worship is thanking God for who he is and what he does. Second thing he says, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The next thing, he's talking partly about Israel, but he's also talking about the whole process of how we became. He's really talking about that God is the creator. Do you know what he does here? He does two things. He says, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. He's the creator, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture, which the way we became that is he's the Savior. That's what Revelation will praise God, because he's the creator and he's the Savior. We thank God for what he's done. He has created us. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God said, I'm going to make you in my image, which makes human life precious. We're made like God. We're not God. But we're made in this image. We can think, we can reason, we can feel, we can choose, we can worship him. We're not animals. We are made in His image, and thus we should thank God that He's the one who made us and not us. Folks, let me tell you something. You may think there's some things you can't do. Hey, there's some things I can't do. There's sometimes I don't even know if I can get out of a plastic bag sometimes. I just, you know, if you ask me to repair something, you're going to be in big trouble because I'm going to destroy it. Hot water heater was out, and they had kind of said, hey, you know, you just hit the reset button. Sure, I'll do that. Where is it? And I started to go do it, and I thought, you know, Tim, you're crazy. You better not pull off one single panel because you're going to electrocute yourself, and you're going to be here. Well, sure enough, when they came over to work on it, they said, first thing we do, we cut the breaker. And I'm going, oh, yes, I didn't do that. A lot of things I don't do. So what? A lot of things you can't do. But God made you in His image. You're unique. You have some capacity to do things. Thank God for that. Genesis 9:5 says, and surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast will I require of it, and the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. He means to take the other person's life is serious because that is a unique human being made by God in God's image, and therefore it is a serious thing. Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not murder. That means thou shalt not premeditate to take another person's life. It's serious. But in our society, it's not all that big a deal to some degree. But it's serious in God's eyes. James 3 says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made in the likeness of God. James said, there's a contradiction. On the one hand, you worship God. On the other hand, you curse your fellow man. And he don't mean using language, he just means you tear him down. That's inconsistent because he's made in the image of God. In Revelation 4:10, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You know one of the two things we will do in heaven? We will thank God that He is the Creator. He made all things. He made us. That's why we're there, because He made us. I saw recently a picture of a fellow who looked awfully like a very famous person. And they actually thought it was that famous person. But you know, by and large, that's not true. Do you know how I can recognize who you folks are? Because you look like you. Your nose, your hair, your eyes. How can you do that? That's why I guess when I go to the hospital, I always look at the paintings. I'm like, how do you paint this? You're just painting. You're not drawing. You're painting, and you're putting the face of an actual person. They look like that person. You and I need to be thanking God that He's the one who made us, not ourselves. And we need to realize in heaven that one of the things we're going to do, we're going to worship God because He made us. I've mentioned before, when I was born, had I not been born 2 weeks early, I would have been born dead because my mother quit feeding me. But I was born early. Only weighed 3 pounds, 14 ounces. Was in an incubator for 2 weeks. But I'm here by the grace of God. Now, I know you're thinking of others that didn't. But here's the truth. There's two sides. God is the author, but at the same time, we live in a fallen, sinful world. But whatever you have, folks, you ought at least be thankful you're here. You're you, because that's what you're going to do in heaven. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Not one single thing was made apart from Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought how bad it would be if your eye... It would probably be good, but if your eye was on your tip of your finger, Now, one good thing about it, you could look around corners. But you'd have a hard time hammering because, oh, I hurt my eye. You know, what I'm trying to get you to see is the Lord is the one who's made us, not we ourselves. If you're going to be thankful, you have to be thankful for being created and being you. Let me tell you something. To tear yourself down and to beat yourself up is not what God intended. Now, if you're sinning, you know what God said? Do? Confess it, forgive you, you move on. But to tear your own self down, I don't mean you puff yourself up, but you're unique. God made you. And you need to be so thankful that you can walk, that you can talk. Dee and I were commenting the other day. You don't know, but I have all through the years sort of do these corny jokes. Deanne started to do them too. And here comes a corny joke. Oh, Deanne, come on now. You've been married to me too long. We do the same things to some degree. We're both running around now trying to find stuff, and neither one of us can find it. But we're unique. We're unique. God made us. God made you. You ought to say thank you for who God did. Why don't you listen to Psalms 139, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. He doesn't mean in the lower parts of the earth. That is a figure of speech, meaning in a secret place inside the mother. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. I don't mean you go around being prideful and say, oh, I'm somebody. But folks, you got to be thankful that you're alive, that you can think, you can reason. You can do different things in life. Be thankful because it's God who made you and not yourselves. I want to give you a long quote by Richard Land, who's one of the leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention. And this is what he says, referring to Psalms 138. The psalmist's contemplation of God's special and unique involvement with human conception and development compelled him to exclaim, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What other conclusion could have been drawn as he describes God's comprehensive knowledge of and involvement with each individual human being? God has revealed that before conception, through gestation, to birth, to natural death, and all moments in between, he has planned for and been involved with each human life. What a critically important and strongly encouraging word in a day when human life has increasingly depersonalized and been devalued. God's knowledge of and provision for each human life begins before conception. As God told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. God possessed, or in verse 13, formed each of us in the womb. His detailed participation, planning, and participation in the specific personal attributes of particular individuals are revealed in the psalmist when he says, being knit together in my mother's womb. And his realization that in God's book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. It is God's intimate involvement with human beings that imparts to human life its sanctity, value, and uniqueness. Each human being is fearfully and wonderfully made. Then, well, preacher, what about the tragedies? What about the troubles? Once again, that's the cynic. I think everybody wants to take an opportunity if they can look at something and say, aha, I get to criticize God. Well, if God's so good, how come there's suffering? If God's so good, how come there's pain? If God's so good, this. That's not my philosophy of life. I'm not here to set myself up in judgment of God. God is the one who made. God is the one who works. But there is also a fallen, sinful world. How the two blend together, I don't know. I just know what the scripture teaches. That God knew you before you were born. The word fearfully indicates a unique, divinely imparted ability to know and worship the Creator. God has created us with the capacity to reverence and honor Him. The word wonderfully speaks to the special and miraculous aspect of each human conception. The word is usually frequently in the Psalms to describe actions that go beyond mere human ability. Each human conceived is indeed a miracle requiring God's involvement. Oh, it just happens. There's a human side, but the Bible says there's a divine side in which God is very intimately involved. He knew you. He knew what your name would be. He knew the family you would come from. He knew the trials you go through. He knew every single thing about you. You know what I like? Way, way back in 1600, way, way back when the Quisenberries and the Phillips got united, way back, God knew there was going to be a Tim Phillips. And he worked through that family and that family and that family and that family. And I don't mean he only worked just to bring me, but he knew and brought us into being because he's very much involved with us. The word made refers to an act of God in which humans may participate, such as procreation, but which still requires God's creative activity and intervention. God is telling us through his word that he has invested each human life with sacred meaning and priceless value. In addition, human beings are not born human or become human at some arbitrary, mysterious point of fetal development. They are conceived human beings, with all the wonder, glory, and unique value God imparts to each and every human being. Let me read that again. In addition, human beings are not born human or become human at some arbitrary, mysterious point of fetal development. They're conceived human beings with all the wonder, glory, and unique value God imparts to each and every human being. Remember children? You see these children come down here? Are you watching them grow? They're unique. I watched them from the time they were little. Now they come down here and they grow. You see them on Wednesday night, they grow. They mature. They developed. And you know what you could hear teachers say? Well, so-and-so like this, and so-and-so's like this, and so-and-so likes this, and so-and-so likes this, and so-and-so this way. You know why? Because they're a unique human being with their own likes and dislikes and their own taste and their own way of doing things. How sad that you don't thank God that it is He who made you and not you yourselves. Every time an unborn human is killed, all human life is devalued, let just a little more. God values human life. And one of the things you ought to do when you're thankful is to be thankful to God to have been born, to have grown, to have matured, and to be here still today. And you know what's good about it is? I can recognize each and every one of you when I look at you. You're unique. You have your own personality. You have your own way. You ought to be thankful that God is the one who made you and not you yourselves. You know what I find as I mature and I am growing a little bit? The Lord is working a work in my heart that He's really working. And you know what I'm discovering? We tend as human beings to bring ourselves above and look down upon the world we're in with criticism and with complaining, and we don't look up and humble ourselves in the majesty and the greatness of God. I can call either of you by name. You know why? Because you're made by God. I can take you all four of my children. Not a one of them are the same. Look at these little kids. When they come down here, when they're little, they're a little bit more mischievous. They can't sit down. They want to. And then you know what? As they come down and get used to it, they start sitting. They start paying more attention. You know what? That's a work of God's grace. And if you can't appreciate being human, and if you can't appreciate being you, and you can't appreciate the God who created you, who made you, who formed you, the family you came from, in spite of what it is, if you can't say, "Thank you, Lord, I'm who I am," and recognize the fallenness of sinful human nature may tear it down, but it isn't because of God, it's because of sinfulness that destroys. We're to be thankful that God made each of us, and we did not make ourselves. So I encourage you, be thankful. Be thankful for who you are. You know what? I took my ring off, washed my hands, get ready to come to church. I couldn't find it. Where's my ring? Preacher, that's terrible. You don't know me, do you? I spend half my life looking for stuff I've lost. And thank God I found it. I also told you I like my clothes hung up color coordinated. You know what, though, it makes me able to do? God's gifted me to understand this book and to preach it. So I don't care if I'd fix my hot water heater. I don't care if I'd fix my lawnmower. There are people that can do it. But I'm so thankful that I know this book, and I love it, and I love to preach it. And you know what I'm so thankful for? God's given me the capacity to love my church. You mess with my church, buddy, and you're going to get my wrinkles up. But I love my church. I love everybody in here. I'm not perfect, but that's the way God made me. God made you the way you are. So how about this Thanksgiving season? Won't you look around them grandbabies, and won't you look around at those daughters and sons, and won't you look around at your friends and just go look at them and go, "Wow, I know who you are because you have a unique face." Some of us are prettier than others, and some of us are more handsome than others. But hey, hallelujah, you look like you. And I just thank God for it. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you to help us to be thankful and gracious. Lord, if we can't even be thankful that you made us, well, what can we even do? Because that's the most basic thing you've done. So, Lord, thank you. It is you who has made us and not we ourselves. And we are the product of your grace and your strength. And we're not good because we're good. We're good because you've made us good. So, Lord, help us. Forgive us of apathy and unconcern about honoring you and being thankful for you, for who we are and what you've done. Lord, forgive us for being self-centered and only thinking about our little things and our little world and not taking time to just say thank you, Lord, and worship you. Help us, Lord, this season to be thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.